and welcome. It's our number two, of our radio program. We thank you for subscribing to the podcast. Five stars. We don't often ask you to do that, but five stars does help us out. Tell a friend about the podcast. Sharing is caring. The original podcast, the radio show repackaged in the podcast format. So this hour, talking baseball at Fenway Park, the American League Championship Series, game number four, the Astros, the Cheaters come back to beat Boston. Has the Red Sox postseason magic worn off? Inquiring minds would like to know. We'll get to that right now in hour number two. There's a hole in those socks, I believe. Welcome in the beginning of yet another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere. We're not ready for primetime. Coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and mighty powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the theater, the Hot Take Theater in the bowels of the Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location in the North Woods. And so we are back at it again this hour, and baseball, the focus will change gears, though, and go from the West Coast to the East Coast to Boston, where Fenway Park is located. The Red Sox and cheating Astros meeting in Game 4 of the American League Championship Series. Now, Boston, all fat and sassy and happy. They had absolutely charbroiled Houston pitching the last couple of games there. And they said, you know what, well, let's do it again. Why not? Nick Pivetta got the start for the Sox against Zach Greinke of the Astros. Were you locked? Were you engaged with Joe Buck and John Smoltz on the call on the Fox box that rocks? Maybe not. It's possible that you missed it. Well, we watched it for you, and the Red Sox were leading this game. It was a close game. Boston did not bring the big lumber to this game, but it was a 2-1 game going to the eighth inning. The Astros had tied it, and then in the ninth inning, all hell broke loose for Houston. I guess those trash cans arrived in time, or maybe the buzzers started working, and the Astros had a monsoon of runs in the ninth inning. They awaken 7 runs in the ninth inning. They were 6 outs away from falling behind 3-1 in the American League Championship Series. But sometimes the bad guys win, and in this case, the bad guys won this game. So it's 2-2 after 4 games. Let's discuss the question. Has the Red Sox postseason magic worn off, says the sports blowhard? I am shaking my head no. Now, my observations, you've got biblical, Southwestern Airlines, and Dreamweaver. And we will combine all of these things together in a nice, neat little package here. That will be the Maller monologue. Now, number one. So this is a missed opportunity, right? 6 outs away, you got to finish the game. Much like the Atlanta Braves didn't finish the game in L.A., they were 5 outs away before they coughed up a furball. Boston, 6 outs away, and they didn't close the game. Now, as far as the offense, though, and this idea that all of a sudden the Red Sox, is they have a game where they don't score a bunch of runs, now the magic of the postseason offense is over. No, I don't buy that. You're going to have a stinker from time to time. It was going to happen. In fact, you could argue, and I think you'd be right, that they were past due, the due date. Right? The Red Sox offense has shattered many franchise records. The Red Sox have had some very good offensive teams. They're known for their great offensive teams playing in that pinball machine that is Fenway Park. And not every game is going to be your masterpiece. Now, there is this thing, and I believe it to be true, called regression to the mean. But even a regression to the mean, the Red Sox are still a very good offensive team. In biblical terms, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And so the Red Sox, still a good offensive team. They're not going to, even if they don't hit all those ridiculous home runs, and that's not even done yet either, right? Extreme outcomes are often followed by more moderate ones. If you watch sports, you know that. One of the reasons there's the supposed Madden cover jinx, or the used to be this magazine, people used to read printed publications called Sports Illustrated. They used to call it a SI jinx, they called it. And the reason for that was because you end up on the magazine or you end up on the video game after you've done something really, really amazing. And typically, when you do something really, really amazing, you don't then do something even more amazing after you've done something amazing to end up on a magazine cover or to end up on a video game cover. So I would just say, I'm Benny Brightside. All right? Do not overreact. In this case, do not overreact. Boston ends up losing by 7 runs, but that's misleading. And it was an F game for the offense. They only had 3 hits before. They got a couple of garbage time hits in the ninth inning when the Astros had gone up by 7 runs. But the Sox were 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position. Xander Bogaerts had the big hit early, but that was it. And it was eerily similar to what we've seen the Dodgers out on the West Coast do, where they do something early and they kind of fall apart after. They don't do much of anything on offense. And the Astros, their numbers were gaudy with runners in scoring position. The Cheaters, they were 5-of-9, all of those hits coming in a conga line in the ninth inning. And it was a conga line, round and round and round and round and round. All right, now the second thing, the game ball for the Astros. You know who gets the game ball? You're probably thinking, well, it's that Jose Albuve or one of those other cheaters, Carlos Correa, or you go down to Alex Bregman. No. The most important Astro was Laz Diaz. The most important Astro was Laz Diaz, the home plate umpire. Yet again, Houston needed some extra help to win a playoff game. I feel like we've seen this before. I think we've seen this before. Yes, I have to check my notes on that. Bang, bang! Now, in this case, if you didn't watch the game, and maybe you missed it, you could say, turned a blind eye. This was a Southwest Airlines want-to-get-away moment. And it was the turning point of the game. It was so bad, you wondered if there was an envelope filled with cash with Laz Diaz's name on it at the end of the game. Laz Diaz was Dusty Baker's most valuable player, an umpire who needs bifocals. He missed 23 ball strike calls, according to the tracking service that is available, 23 missed ball strike calls. But one of them in particular will be remembered more than all the rest. Top of the ninth inning, Nathan Eovaldi, a starting pitcher. But it's the playoffs, so everyone's all messed up. You starters come in, relievers come in. So Nathan Eovaldi, right, looking down at Jason Castro. I believe the count was 1-2 at the time. Eovaldi throws a curveball that clearly hits the right corner of the strike zone. Strike three, right? 1-ball, 2-strike count. That's strike three. Professional umpire calls that a strike. But instead, plot twist. Laz Diaz, either he has a brain fart or there's something more nefarious going on. He calls that pitch a ball. A clear strike, he calls it a ball. 2 pitches later, what do you think happened? Yeah. Jason Castro gives the Astros the big hit, right? Second chance, he smacks the go-ahead ribby single to right, and that gives the villains of baseball, Houston, the lead, and that opens up the floodgates and the aforementioned conga line. But it all started with the most valuable Astro, Laz Diaz, the home plate umpire, helping the boys out from Houston, and they need all the help they can get. So I guess Laz will eat for free when he goes to Houston to umpire the games in Texas. Now, final point. The cheating Astros are not out of the woods. By any means, they're not out of the woods. Houston's pitching staff is bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Now, say, well, wait a minute. The Red Sox only had 5 hits and scored 2 runs. It was a sloppy game. They had a couple there. And that's true, right? But the longer you get in the series and the more pitching changes you make, a good offensive team will be able to get a read on opposing pitchers. And Boston has seen everything in Dusty Baker's bag of tricks other than the illegal stuff, which they might or might not be doing, depending on who you talk to. Also, remember the adage which is credited to the Dream Weaver, the late Earl Weaver, Baltimore Oriole legend, who mocked momentum. So I'm going to bring this up because it's a quote. And a lot of people are not that bright, don't realize it. He said, momentum is only as good as the next day's starter, which is a way of dismissing the myth of momentum. Earl Weaver was ahead of his time in that regard. He was also ahead of his time considering now pretty much everyone tries for the three-run homer. And they've been doing that for years. But it is accurate. I mean, this is the stage here, big turning point, 2-2 series. You can look at the comparables, the comps, when it's 2-2, the winner of Game 5, and how often they typically win a playoff series. But I think we should actually update the adage. You're only as good as your next day's bullpen, because that's really where baseball is right now. Now, the Red Sox, if you just look at this blindly, you would say the Red Sox have an advantage in the starting matchup for Game 5. Not that either one of these players will be long for the game, but Framber Valdez will be the starter for Dusty Baker and the Cheaters, and Chris Sale for Boston. Of course, it depends with all of these analysis and these predictions, which pitcher shows up. Chris Sale, historically, pretty good player. He has been garbage in his two playoff appearances. And he's been bad, right? Two appearances, pretty much like relief appearances. I think he's pitched a total of 3 2/3 innings. Chris Sale in the postseason, giving up 6 runs. But he, at least in the past, had done something. Right? He had some big outs in the 2018 playoff run that resulted in a win at Dodger Stadium. But Framber Valdez, he doesn't have the track record that Chris Sale does, and he's got also bad numbers. His ERA is almost 8 in the postseason. So if that holds, it'll be another high-scoring game. And if it's a high-scoring game, advantage to the Red Sox, unless those trash cans work again for the Cheaters from Texas. And we'll see if,
bang,
that happens or not. Or was it buzz, buzz? Bang, bang, buzz, buzz. I don't know. All right, let's go to the losing locker room. That's where the drama is. That's where the story is. Alex Cora. He knows a thing or two about cheating. Here's Alex Cora, who points out there that he was talking about Nathan Eovaldi and his usage of Nathan Eovaldi here, and Cora explaining his decision-making process or process.
He was going to give us one inning, and we fell right there in that pocket. It was good for him. I wasn't going to use him in extra innings because then I get tempted to use him for 6. So I decided to use him in 9th, and it didn't work.
Yeah. Well, at least he admitted it didn't work. Because he said, Dave, you know what Roberts would have said? I liked him in that spot. That's what Dave Roberts
said. I liked him in that spot. I really did.
Instead of it didn't work because he gave up, he was credited with 4 runs, 4 of the 7, although he was out of the game before some of those scored, but 24 pitches for Nathan Eovaldi. 24 pitches. Why couldn't he have done that in the 2018 World Series? Why couldn't he have pitched like that in the 2018 World Series? He waited for this moment. Things that make you go, hmm. Things that make you go, hmm. All right, but wait, there's more. Mentioned the Red Sox and their starting pitcher, and it was a close game. The Red Sox were in position in the 8th inning to win the game. And in the beginning of the game, they had gone with Nick Pivetta. He was the starting pitcher. And Pivetta, he went 5 innings. That's about as good as you can expect from a starting pitcher in the year 2021. How pathetic is that? How pathetic. He's 65 pitches. He only goes 5 innings because you can't go through the lineup a third time. Anyway, here is Nick Pivetta, Red Sox starting pitcher du jour here. And he says, if you think the Red Sox are going to be depressed because of this game, you are a dope.
I don't think it's going to affect us at all. I don't expect us to really, take too much from it. Just move on. We got another game tomorrow at home, Fenway. So I think it's just the focus turns on the game tomorrow, and that's where we need to be.
Yeah. Boring! Boring! Is there anyone on any of the teams about? We know the Patriots all do the Belichick thing. They don't say anything. And Jason Tatum's pretty boring with the Celtics. He's the big star of the Celtics. Is there anyone in Boston sports that says anything interesting into a microphone? Are they not allowed to? Is it just because the Patriots don't do it? Nobody else can do it? Like, there's not a lot of excitement. And maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I'm forgetting somebody. But I don't sense it. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. If you would like to be part, we'll take your phone calls here. 877-99 on Fox. 877. 996-6369. You can be part of the festivities. Everyone in baseball hoping the Red Sox can come back here and get that big win against the cheaters from Houston. That would be wonderful. That would be just great. All right, straight ahead, a new revelation that helps back up a conspiracy theory in the NFL. What is that about? We'll give you the information. You can decide for yourself. I think we know which direction this story is going. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Ben Maller is a man, yes, a big man. He's got his militia and gives them his sporting news. Ben Maller is a man, yes, a big man. Big Ben in the air everywhere for you and me. From the Dodger cap on the top of old Ben to the heel of his Costco shoes, he's the rip-roarin'est, sports-talkin'est man the world has ever knew.
Most are unable to lend an ear to the Ben Maller Show all night long, but with podcasting, you can get caught up on unique show moments that you might have missed. The Ben Maller Show podcast is available on iHeart and wherever you get your podcasts. It's a piece of cake and upsets the corporate guys. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
These guys are better than the best dang crew you and I have ever knew.
The Russian kid writes in, he says, for the love of God, my ears cannot take baseball. He said, stand down, Russian kid. Make sure you attend your weekly healing sessions with your little therapy dogs that come in there, and you got to manage your anxiety. I recommend coloring. I think that's the way to go, and hopefully everything will be okay. But it is October, and the sports radio gods will allow us to talk baseball in October. It's the league championship series, so you're going to hear a lot of baseball for the next couple of weeks. The World Series will be here before you know it. So deal with it. Deal with it. All right. Let's see. Ted writes in. He says, hey, Ben, I want the Astros to lose because they are cheaters, but more because I just hate Dusty Baker so much. Well, what do I hate Dusty? He doesn't say. But I put money on the Braves to win the pennant and the World Series, and I put money on the Red Sox to win the pennant and the World Series back in August. So that guarantees, he says, it'll be the Dodgers versus the Astros in the World Series. Well, if the Red Sox do not get it done, if they're incapable of closing the job and eliminating the cheating Astros, then the Dodgers will have to take care of business if it comes down to that. Rob in Vegas writes in, says, solid monologue, Benjamin. The cheaters don't win another game in this series. Stick that in your pipe and pop it. F. Altuve from Rob in Vegas. And our guy in Boston, J.D. in Boston, saying a lot of Laker fans jumping off the bandwagon. It is interesting, J.D. I have not heard from the Laker historians here. They have not called them. I imagine if the Lakers had won, if they had beaten Golden State, there would be a lot of Laker propaganda. But it's amazing how that works. I guess their phone stopped working. The social media apps stop working when the Lakers don't play well. We will have complete coverage next hour. I know you're dying for my review. One of the reasons I left the Dodger game.
Oh, no. 0-1. The season's over.
Cool. That was on the air, Cool. I'll get to that next hour, Cool. Okay? No need to get ahead.
Sky is falling!
Well, I guess you didn't see the game.
I didn't, actually.
I did. I got to tell you, I enjoyed it. It was really good. It's one of my favorite openers. Solid. Solid, solid, solid. Marcelo writes in, says, good monologue, Ben. They both cheaters. After the eighth, I bet Dusty Baker threw his toothpick and said, F it, put on the buzzers. Right? Strap on the buzzers. Sure, why not? Let's take some calls. It is a call-in radio show. And let's say hello to, here's one of our friends, Salsa in Puerto Rico. He's come out and hung out with us at Maller meet and greets in the past. Hello, Salsa.
man, what it do, Roberto?
Wow, your phone does sound like you're in Puerto Rico, Salsa. That's a very bad connection. Hopefully it'll improve here.
How is this? This better? This is better?
Much better. Much better. I can hear every word you say. I do not want to miss anything, Salsa.
Hey, Astros, I want to see them play the Dodgers, so I'm rooting for them to play the Dodgers in the World Series.
So you're pulling for the Astros because you want to see the Dodgers and the Astros. Is that what you're telling me?
Absolutely.
Why can't the Red Sox beat them? I'm fine with another Red Sox-Dodger World Series. Either way, if the Dodgers are there, it's going to be a rematch of a World Series we just had within the last 5 years.
Yeah, but let the Dodgers take them out. Let the Dodgers take them out. Hey, yo, but Ben, since you guys
how great would that be? Wait, Salsa.
Hold up.
I'm visualizing the Astros losing the World Series at Dodger Stadium, and the crowd goes wild. Oh, great.
It'll be epic. Epic. Right. Hey, Ben, I went from Puerto Rico to Reno, Nevada to buy a car, and I drove it back cross country. It was absolutely amazing. I got a sweet deal. It was, you know how these cars are right now? Everybody's trying to buy them used. You got to search really hard to get a good one. So I actually flew out to Reno, and drove it all the way back to Alabama.
But doesn't that put a lot of miles? I mean, the whole point of buying a car, you don't want to add the miles to it. By driving it back, did you put it on a trailer and tow it back, or did you just?
No. I stopped in different cities along the way, went dancing, met some beautiful women along the way.
All right.
But it was well worth it, man. I got to see some states I've never been to, Utah, Kansas.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. I'm jealous of people that can do that. I don't have the time. I have to be here every stinking night to do the show.
It took 5 days to drive from Reno, Nevada to Alabama.
Yeah. All right. Well, you enjoyed it. So that's good. There's a shortage of everything. I was reading a story on this earlier. Like the supply chain, everything. You can't. Everything's delayed. There's like nothing. The American people are buying. Anything that becomes available, people are buying it. But there's like a serious problem in the supply chain for everything. Cars.
Well, hey, if you need a job, best become a truck driver.
Yeah. Well, no, there's stuff that, you know, most things are made these days over in Asia or whatever. And so this stuff's stuck on boats, on these barges. I was reading all about it. It's crazy. Crazy.
Hey, made in America. Hey, real quick before I go. Hey, those hats that I sent you, I thought you guys would be able to figure that out. I thought it would be quite obvious. The black one was for Roberto. The blue one was for Coop. And the red ones would be for you and Eddie. But I see you guys didn't quite get that.
Well, we're colorblind, as you know, Salsa, so we do not see color. And
enjoy the hats, the Puerto Rico hats. Wear them in good health.
All right. We will. Thank you.
My pleasure.
All right, Salsa.
All right, you guys have a great night.
All right. The great Salsa. Not many people travel from Puerto Rico to Reno, Nevada to buy a car. It's not a regular occurrence, but he did it. He did. Let's say hello to Jed, who fled, who's in Florida. Hello, Jed. In the panhandle.
What's going on,
Florida.
Man?
Hello.
Yes, I am. From Angry Bill last night, and most recently Salsa, turn your speakerphone off. Oh, my God. Have some respect for the show. If this is some little morning Dan Patrick, Colin Cowher, or something like that, it'd be one thing. This is the Ben Maller Show. Turn your speakerphone off. How is Blind Scott going to be your sights and sounds guy, and how is he going to know he's wearing the original shades of red on the jersey if he's blind? Can you explain that to me?
Well, Blind Scott sees through hearing. He hears so well. His hearing is at a new level that he can be our ears and our eyes for the Red Sox. He's our Red Sox correspondent, Blind Scott.
But he's blind. It's tough to be there.
I don't know whether you're blind. You might be blind, too. How do I know? How many fingers am I holding up?
How many fingers are you holding up? I think it's just one thumb, dude. I think it's one thumb.
No, that's wrong. I'm holding up two fingers. I'm giving the peace sign. And so you're blind. You can't see how many fingers
I'm holding. Are you a beatnik? Are you a beatnik? Are you a tie-dye wearing...
Yes. You know, when you think hippie, you think me.
I'm trying to think of what kind of brand reinforces their sandals like that. I don't know who does. So, what is the worst sports movie of all time? Is it Rocky V? It's got to be Rocky V.
So we're not going, you're trying to lead me down the garden path. I don't want to go down that path. There have been plenty of crappy sports movies. There have been tons of them.
I just looked on a list. I just looked on a list, man. It's kind of upsetting. The Waterboy was on a list of worst sports movies, man. And I don't understand that because the Farmer Fran, like, we live today, another day. I mean, that's some of the most, we live to play another day is some of the best sports stuff I've ever heard, right? Is it not true? So what you say. That's all I can think of with Florida State, man. Florida State's just on our deathbed. We don't have enough money to buy out another coach's contract, so we're screwed for like 3 years. And it's just sad, man. It's all making me lose my mind if you can't tell by my phone calls. Much love, fellas. Have a good one.
Thank you. Right. What was that? Remember that baseball movie? It was Mr. 3000. You remember that?
Bernie Mac.
That was not a great baseball movie. I don't know if it's
we just had that as a category on Mallers Mountain.
Well, you should have told Jed to go listen to the podcast, and then he would figure it out.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's return to baseball. There was speculation about the future employment of Aaron Boone as manager of the New York Yankees. Would he still be on the job in the Bronx, or would he get fired and possibly move on to San Diego? Oh, he's going to stay in New York, agreeing on a new 3-year contract with the team, and a club option for 2025 as well.
Yeah, I saw Brian Cashman said that if Aaron Boone was available, he would have been the number one manager for like the Padres and these other teams that changed managers. And so they're laying on a thing. So essentially what the Yankees did, they said, you know, show us you're loyal, Aaron Boone, sacrifice a couple of coaches and we'll keep you around. And that's what he did. Some of these coaches, they want to stand with their assistants, you know, the people underneath them. But Aaron Boone's like, I don't care. You want to fire my third base coach and that coach over there? I'm fine. I'll keep the job. I don't care about them. Doesn't really matter anyway. Aaron Boone's just a robot. Whatever the nerds and Brian Cashman signal they send down or they put in that 3-ring binder, that's what they do. But there you go. Brian Cashman, who also said, he admitted that the Yankees have a big hole at shortstop, that is an area of need. And Corey Seager on line one. Corey Seager on line one.
Yep.
Although, Roberto, the National League batting champion, Trey Turner, if he keeps playing like this, he might have to revisit that. My God, has he been terrible?
Terrible.
What happened to Trey Turner?
Justin Turner's been terrible as well, even worse.
Turner looks like he should retire. Justin Turner looks like he should retire. I mean, he's got the pine tar stain on the back of his uniform, but you got a hit. I mean, come on. All right, anyway, so we shared with you a conspiracy theory on the timing of the John Gruden emails. And there is new information out that would appear to back up the conspiracy. At least it will lead you that direction. So the conspiracy, if you missed it, and maybe you didn't hear, so that these John Gruden emails had been known for some time, but they were strategically released on that Friday before the Raiders played the Bears. But they were released that day because the NFL Players Union was deciding whether or not to have someone run against DeMaurice Smith. DeMaurice Smith, the guy that runs the union. And so the thinking is the NFL released those emails as a vote of sympathy for DeMaurice Smith, that the players would then say, this guy's getting attacked by John Gruden, using racist tropes and all this stuff. So we're gonna end up keeping him around. So that was the belief. And so now there was a report that came out that says the NFL actually knew about the John Gruden emails months ago, but they waited until October to let the Raiders know that back during the summer, supposedly, the NFL this is what is being reported now, that the John Gruden emails were known in at least June of 2021. But nobody at the NFL brought that up to the Raiders until it ended up in the Wall Street Journal on a Friday. And as my man Roberto pointed out, how awkward is this, that John Gruden was coaching the Raiders in that Monday night game against the Chargers, and Roger Goodell was at that game playing grab ass with a bunch of rich people, the aristocrats in the luxury box. And you got to think that Roger Goodell at that time knew about the John Gruden emails. And he was there doing his thing, having a grand old time. So that certainly would fuel the conspiracy theory. I would say that if this was known back in the summer, and I think it was known before that, but let's just say in the summer, and then you wait, you know, in June, you don't tell anybody in June, July, August, September, nothing. 4 months plus you go, and then in October, all of a sudden it comes out. Things that make you wonder. Things that make you wonder. What's going on there? Behind the shield. Behind the NFL offices there in Manhattan. What's really going on? All right, it's Ben Maller's show on Fox. And to the phones we go. And let's check in now with Big Daddy in Memphis, a fan favorite. Hello, Big Daddy.
5-1 Cowboys. 5-1 Cowboys. What's going on, baby?
I feel like the phone broke. I just keep hearing 5-1 Cowboys, Big Daddy. I think the phone is broken.
Yeah, we in that thing, baby. I told you a while back, all we needed was that defense. I wanted Ty going to catch another interception in the next 2-3 games, because that number 7 is a lucky number.
See, now you're getting too arrogant. Now the Cowboys are going to go on a big losing streak. Yeah.
Well,
because
you know
of you.
How they do.
It's
they
because
always,
of you.
Hey, they always do like my high school team. They win the first 5 and then lose the last 5.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to figure out. I know the media, my friends in the media, everyone goes to Sportscaster Clown College, and everyone's like, you got to prop up the Cowboys. Like the Lakers, the Cowboys. There's certain teams that get all the hype, right? All the hype and all that.
Yeah.
But I'm looking like the Cowboys do have one impressive win over the Chargers. But we don't know how good the Chargers are going to be by the end of the year. Like the Philadelphia Eagles suck. Carolina, Sam Darnold's now becoming Sam Darnold. The Giants are a terrible team, and the Patriots are a losing team. So they've got one nice win, and everyone's all excited because they lost a close game to Tampa Bay. I'm giving you real talk, because the real talk doesn't call the show anymore because he's banned. So, Big Daddy, I'm giving you real talk.
I see you, but I know who's not talking.
Yeah, who would that be?
That's some Steelers, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's so bad. How bad is it for this? Big Daddy, Steeler fans are now Charger fans. How about that?
You know,
Steeler fans are putting a whammy on other teams for the Chargers.
I've been telling them I got applications if they want to come on now. You can go online just like everything else. You can go online, fill out an application, come on and ride the train with us, baby.
All right. Hold on a second. Eddie, would you like to leave the Chargers and go over to the Cowboys? Big Daddy would like you as a Cowboy fan.
No, thank you, Big Daddy.
No?
Come on over here, man, because Big Ben's finna go. You know, it's kind of funny that they finna sit up there and try to do everything around Big Ben, you know, with the Hail Marys and all that. Now they need a running game, but when Le'Veon Bell left, they didn't want too much worry about it. But they need one now, so Big Ben's finna get out of there. They're trying to get everybody situated for
Well, the amazing thing about that is the running back position, you can – usually, there's a lot of halfway decent running backs. So you can pretty much bring anyone in, and you're not going to lose that much. The Steelers managed to bring in running backs. You know, up until now, they had to draft a guy. But Connor didn't work out. Good story, not a good player. And Najee Harris, they had to go out and draft and all that. All right, we'll leave it there, Big Daddy, because I'm up against it. It is a network clock, as you know. It's nothing against you. It's a network clock. Time now for the Insta Trivia. We'll go to the NBA for this. Back in 1974, a guy named John Drew had 30 points and 12 rebounds in his NBA debut with the Atlanta Hawks. Blank is the only other player, all these years since, the only other player in the last 60 NBA seasons to have at least 30 points and 10 rebounds in their first career game. That is the Insta Trivia. The answer next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
From the first moment you tune in, you know the Ben Maller Show is not your garden variety sports talk. We welcome all the freaks of nature to the Maller Militia. Facebook's an online amusement park for all of us. You can chat with other super fans of the show. It's simple and it's free. Help support our show by liking our page. Go to Facebook.com/Ben Maller Show. And now live in the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Attention, everyone.
And the password is... Password. You idiot. Password, the word game of the stars. Here's Ben Maller.
And away we go every week at about this time. Password, the word game of the stars. This portion of the Ben Maller radio show on Fox made possible by Discover Card. We believe a better tomorrow is possible for everyone. Discover something brighter. Let's welcome in our contestants for this edition of Password, the word game of the stars. We have, let's see here. We've got Phalexis in Buffalo. Hello, Phalexis. I thought you turned the show off, Phalexis, because...
I turned it back on after Marcel was off, so I'm back on. Hello, world.
All right, hold on. America's favorite drag queen caller. How about Mason the Millennial? We haven't had Mason on in a while. Mason the Millennial, would you like to play against Phalexis?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, you sound excited. Calm down. Phalexis, who would you like to partner up with? Hurry up, please.
Oh, that guy sounds like a winner. Eddie!
Wow. All right, Mason the Millennial, who do you want to partner up with, Mason?
Phalexis, I've boasted and talked well about you on Twitter before. Stop the hate. Coop.
All right. That's the match. We have a list of words, 1 to 10. Laser-like focus, gentlemen and lady. This is very important. Here we go. All right. Pick a number, Phalexis, 1 to 10.
Number 1.
Don't steal my material. All right, go ahead. You're up, Eddie.
Phalexis, the clue is arc. Arc.
Boat?
What?
You're saying arc?
He said boat.
No.
Me is a boat.
No.
Go ahead, Coop.
All right, Mason, I'm going to do a Maller maneuver here.
Using all my material.
So remember Eddie's clue.
You don't have to remember.
I'm going
to
go with flash.
Light.
No! Oh, my God. That was terrible. That was horrible.
All right. Phalexis, redemption time here, all right? My clue was arc. Let's go with tsunami.
Ocean.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. We've got password for idiots. Unbelievable.
I'm going to go with, Mason, I'm going to go with overflow.
Oh, I got it now.
Blood.
Yeah! Yeah!
You got it now, Phalexis? Jesus.
I'm going to spot the F, the L, the O, the O. God, what is the word? All right. Anyway, go ahead.
I think that's 7 points, right?
5.
Go ahead, Coop. Roberto's keeping score. Go ahead.
5. Number 5. Okay. Let's go with stammer.
What Roberto does every day, stutter.
Oh, that's a cheap shot.
I think you should get disqualified for disrespect.
How dare you?
You're out.
Blow him up, Roberto.
You lose, Mason. Congratulations, Phalexis.
Yeah!
You are the winner by disqualification.
Listen, I just want the record to be shown that I won that one. So when Aussie Momentum, when you add up your little tally on Twitter, that's one for Coop.
No, that's not a win. Mason the Millennial, you are disqualified. How dare you? We are the only ones allowed to goof on Roberto. You are not allowed to goof. Happy birthday, Roberto,
Thank you very much.
That's no way to treat you on your birthday,
Roberto.
That's
the last time you get on the air, man. I'm in control here. FYI.
Look at that. You're banned. You
See
are
you later,
cancel
man.
Culture, Mason the Millennial.
I don't think Alexa should get a golden ticket, but I think I should get credit for the win.
Nobody wins. I don't know, Eddie. I get the win because I backed up Roberto.
No.
I supported Roberto.
I was the first one to say it.
I'm a good teammate.
Aussie Momentum knows the right thing to do.
It was my idea.
That was disrespectful.
You copied my idea.
I said it before you.
I supported
how could I copy
Roberto.
You?
I'm a better teammate.